You're listening to Type Radio. My name is Michael Horsham from Tomato. Now we're talking.
Guten Abend. Jetzt gibt es Type Radio.
You're listening to Type Radio. My name is Donald.
I'm Lisa.
We're at the 20 plus X conference in Munich, Germany. It's April 16th, and our guest is Michael Horsham from Tomato. Welcome.
Thank you.
The first question is, are you religious?
No.
Never. Ever.
Well, with regard to God, no. That's a very interesting question. Not one that I'd anticipated. Maybe we can come back to it a bit later.
Okay, we will. Do you have rituals?
Do I have rituals? No, not really.
Mm. Also not in your work?
No, not at all.
Do you need to be in a sort of state of mind to start working?
No. Sometimes I don't even have to be awake. It's which is quite odd. I have dreamt things that have become incorporated into things I've done. Yeah. But I'm sure that's true of pretty much everyone. No, I don't have rituals. I think if you're sort of striving for anything, it's a degree of freedom, really. If there's anything ritualistic, it's the way I have to approach the sort of dissatisfaction with, you know, the situation that I'm in or how to improve that situation to make it better, which tends to mean usually sort of escaping it in some way. But every situation is different and demands a different response, really. So I try to keep that going, a degree of freedom, you know, at least in my head. But then sometimes things just turn out the same, no matter what you try to do, or no matter how you try to break your method or mode of practice or whatever.
What are you working on currently?
I'm currently working on, as usual, you know, a number of different things. Job-wise, I'm working for the city of Seattle in Washington in the USA, who are undertaking a big sort of architectural project. And I'm doing the, it's early days, we've only just begun, but I'm doing the communication and identity of this big waterfront revamping project in Seattle. And I'm doing a lot of writing, doing a bit of music and various other bits and pieces as well.
But how do you work together? Like, you're currently, as we read, currently 10?
Yeah.
Do you work together? Not all the time, but then you just select the people that you...
No, there's lots of... There's sort of myths about how Tomato works and has worked, some of which we've done very little to dispel. But really, it's, you know, there's a kind of functioning studio to which anywhere between sort of 5 or 6 of us will, you know, actually go and gravitate. Carl and Rick are still doing Underworld. John's over in Australia. Joel is in Kassel in the middle of Germany. It really depends on the job or what we want to do. I mean, Graham Wood is not kind of in the studio anymore because he's head of art at JWT. But he and I are collaborating on a script or a story at the moment, which to me doesn't feel any different to any other thing that we've done, you know, over the years. So we sort of make it up as we go along, really, and we always have done in terms of collaboration or working with each other. In terms of actual jobs, you know, that come into the studio, we probably approach them similarly to many other places in that we sort of look at them, see who's free, see who's interested, and try and do the best thing that we can. Yeah.
Is that a democratic process? It's like you sort of...
No. It's as fluid as any other response. You know, if there's a couple of things sort of on the horizon at the moment, and I know that, you know, a couple of us are already involved in things, and so we'll be too busy to take those things on. So, you know, the other guys may well do that, you know. But it's not, we try not to make it too angst-ridden a process.
Do you all have something in common? I mean, in thinking or...?
I don't know, sometimes. Sometimes those things come inside. It sounds terribly woolly and as though I'm not trying to help, but I think the truthful thing is sometimes we coincide and sometimes we don't. We don't all like everything each other does. You know, we're not uh, We're not some sort of species, you know, or phylum that's got its own characteristics. We're just humans, you know, who've found each other and chosen to work together in whatever way.
So it's more like it could be complementary, and it could be like a sort of overlapping.
It could be, or it could be, you know, there's often a healthy friction in sort of disagreeing about something. You know, there are as many ways to kind of cut that conversation as there are conversations, I suppose. You know, it's quite odd. And of course, you know, the tomato as a kind of overarching idea has always been a more powerful thing to me than it has been as a business. You know, it's not, the supporting tomato as a going concern really comes down to sort of five or six of us at the moment, you know, who are the people that kind of generate the money that pays the rent on the studio, you know, the phone bill and the internet bill and that sort of thing. So there's a very practical side, and then there's a more philosophical side. Yeah. And I think the philosophical sides I hope will kind of run. There are degrees of collaborativeness and collaboration that have happened more in the past than maybe happening at the moment, but you know, we continue to talk, and you know, last year was good when the Underworld album came out. We all made films for it and that kind of thing. So, you know, we don't know what's going to happen next.
So it can be the continuum. I mean, everybody
until we die.
No, but
and then
until
maybe
new
it will
people.
Have a life of its own after that. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine like other people coming in and continuing the collective?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't see why not. It's the problem is, and always has been, finding people that that are good to have around.
Yeah. You should be able to relate with them, of course.
But also, you know, as we've been around for quite a long time, it's quite difficult now.
Do you find this legacy with Tomato and Underworld, do you find it like confining in a way sometimes? Like in
personally, no. Mm. No. I mean, I still really love what Rick and Carl do. Whenever I look at their stuff, I always think that they've kind of ploughed a furrow that is very much their own. And I've had a real clarity of vision about that, I think. Or at least that's how it seems. I'm not inside their heads, so I don't know. So no, I don't think it's constricting. It's great when it sort of overlaps and enables something else to happen. But, you know, equally, we can go quite a long time with sort of nothing happening between us. You know? So it's quite interesting.
Oh, maybe it's also a very good reason to keep it fresh, shall I?
You're
sort of apart, like...
Yeah, but it's not that conscious, you know. Mm. It's really not that conscious a thing, you know. We're not trying, really, to do anything
it's
other than...
It's strategic.
I don't think so. That's not on our collective part. Mm. I don't think we've ever really had a strategy.
Why do you say that it's harder to find people because you're going... You've been...
I think it's a question of looking as well, you know. And there's also, I mean, we have a slight sort of structural problem in that, you know, we're a set of individuals who kind of work together and have a studio, but we don't really have any of the things that you would normally associate with a studio, like a studio manager or any kind of, you know, account people or anyone managing the process on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. So we get, I don't know, about 7 or 8 emails an hour asking about internships and if people can come work in the studio. And... You know, we've never really taken people on in that way because we can't support them. When we're at our busiest, very often, no one's there in the actual room that has got tomato on the door. You know, I mean...
There is a room.
Yeah.
Well, that's a start.
Well, yeah. Or is it an end?
Who knows? Yeah. You're also, like, involved in both design, writing, and music. Do these three disciplines sort of complement each other? Like, do you need the one to do the other?
I don't know if you need them. I think that's just the way it is. Mm. You know, Simon and me and Martin Green have worked on musical things together. Simon's got this thing, this amazing thing that he's developed, Speak Music, it's called, which is a kind of musical translation thing. Which I'm not involved in, but it's a fantastic...
Sounds
good. Yeah, what is it? Yeah,
well, curious.
You're not allowed to say.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say, but he's it turns conversation into music. It's quite interesting. They coexist naturally, don't they, in the world? You know, as I or you move through the world, you don't... You know, you're not in sort of music mode or speaking mode, unless you have rituals and meditative practices that that you adhere to. These things are with us all the time, and I like to sit and play music.
What instrument do you play?
I recently became the proud owner of an Irish bouzouki, which is an extraordinary thing.
I never heard of the thing.
It's weird. Well, when the hippies went to Greece from Ireland in the 60s, they found the Greek bouzouki, which is a bowl-back instrument with three strings, and they brought it back to Ireland. And they found that it's really difficult to play. It's nice and loud for sessions, but difficult to play standing up. So some luthiers in Dublin built flat-back version of it with four sets of two strings. And it's a hybrid, weird instrument. So I'm currently trying to get my fingers around that, actually. Yeah. It's quite odd.
But do you have classical musical training?
No. Yeah. No, of course not.
Well, just asking.
No. Music University of Life.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's good enough.
Well, depends what you're trying to do with it.
Yeah, exactly. I suppose.
I wouldn't be the first port of call for a session with the London Philharmonic. That's for sure.
With your Irish bouzouki.
No, indeed, yeah.
Yeah, but I've never heard of this before. No, I mean, it is it. How many other people play?
It's a really... it's a folk instrument, but it's quite versatile. I mean, it makes amazingly lovely sounds.
And then the sound is very different then to the...
It's like a cross between a bouzouki and a 12-string guitar.
Okay.
With a drone, so it's a bit dulcimer as well. So it's quite, it's an interesting thing. So that's my latest thing anyway. Mm.
But does it change quite often? Do you change?
I seem to be acquiring things.
Yeah?
I bought a kalimba while I was here in Munich.
Okay.
So that was
the next
yesterday.
Thing.
Well, I had one and it went missing, and now I got another one.
That's a pretty sound, I think.
Yeah. It is, isn't it? Hard to find a properly tuned one, but this one is.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah. You have these crappy tourist things which sound absolutely horrible.
Yeah, exactly. This is on a solid block of some sort of hardwood. It's quite resonant and good. Mm. But I don't know if that, I don't
can
know if
you
my...
Play? Can you? No, you don't
can
have it here.
Anyone can play the kalimba. No.
No, okay.
Anyone can play the kalimba.
Yeah, because then it would be great if you could play now.
Yeah, no. It's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, never mind.
No worries. Okay, religion.
Yeah.
Can we go back to that?
Certainly.
And? Have you thought about it?
No, I've been talking. I was baptized a Catholic when I was a kid, and came up through Catholic school, and really loved the rituals and the iconography of the church, and the colours. I thought that purple that the priests wear is still one of my favourites. It's a good colour, and but then gradually sort of began to see the church as a sort of political instrument, which of course it is, and try to find a different way, which is less religious and more humanist, I suppose.
Was that a big step?
No, it was a gradual, like most things, unless you bungee jump or something. Things tend to be a gradual transition rather than an immediate change, because you have to assimilate and learn and think as you go along. There's very few immediate changes other than, accidents or acts of will to put you in a different state. So it's...
How would you like to be remembered?
By whom?
Yeah, that's a good answer.
I hadn't really thought about that. I won't be here to judge the quality of remembrance, so I don't mind.
What sparked your interest in design? How do you get involved in design?
I went and did a degree in the history of design, initially, because I was always interested in the sort of, how things come to be. And off the back of that, I did an MA, which was based at the Royal College of Art, but was in cahoots with the Victoria and Albert Museum. Mm-hmm. So I was steeped in kind of object culture and analysis. And off the back of that, I started writing about it and about architecture and things for various newspapers and design magazines. And then I started working for the BBC. This is really early 90s. And I was researching a film about interesting things that were happening in London. And I came across this newly formed studio called Tomato, and phoned up John Warwicker, and we met up. It turned out that we lived in the same street, which was kind of odd, and we'd been living opposite each other for 6 months, never seen each other, but from the day that we met, we started meeting more and more. You know, we'd walk to the tube together, and you know, and we became friends initially. And then John said, you know, you should come in and help out on, you know, we need to think about this, or you know. So I came in, and it was a right laugh. It was really good fun. And he and I started working on a couple of projects. And I turned round one day, and he was off doing something else. And so I had to sort of step in and start to make the things that I'd been talking about. So that was a sink or swim moment, if ever there was one. But luckily, I was doing that surrounded by some really fantastic people, visualizers of things. So I picked up kind of what I do and what I know by doing within that sort of studio context, really, which is quite interesting, but with the kind of backing of this kind of, you know, interest in the culture and the history of the thing in which I now work and make.
But you do more writing than, or?
No.
No?
No, I do pretty much everything that that I want to do.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is that it?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Do you want to talk more?
No, I'm fine.